driving the lane. Crosses up Van Hoodle. Okie doke move and lays it up for two. Lee with a nifty move there.
He could go all the way, and the freshman takes it to the house with no time on the clock. Are you kidding me? He takes it 60 yards. Welcome to Redbird Nation.
And the shoe. She gives it to Katie Broadway. Broadway taking it herself down the left side. No good. But she's going to get on a rebound. Kicks it out. Give you sights for three. No,
that's
good.
They got it.
Give you sights for three.
From local high school action to the birds and the pros, with live interviews, reporting, debate, and discussion, WZND's Red Zone brings you all the sports you can handle each week. The Red Zone starts now, only on 103.3 WZND,
the pulse of Redbird Nation.
Happy Thursday, birds, and welcome to another edition of the Red Zone. And I know what you're thinking. You're like, that is not host Mikey Fernelli. That is because he is currently busy, and he is busy with Thomas Brady Edward Patrick Jr.'s divorce hearing as he gets separated from Giselle Bundchen. That's okay. We still got our usual cast of characters in me, Dane Dreyfus, and producer David Moses, who is especially happy to be on this edition, especially as our Bears insider.
Oh my God, I got a lot to fill you all in on today's episode. I'm just really excited to get into it all.
No spoilers quite yet, as I also get to introduce White Sox fan Tony La Russa critique and news and sports analyst Andrew Petrushevsky.
Oh man, it's so good to be back, especially, I don't know if we'll talk about it, but on the day of Pedro Grifol's introduction, I feel good again, guys. I feel good.
I feel kind of weird not introducing you as AKA Andy P or AKA Droopy. But to start off the show, I know Fernelli likes to do a little icebreaker, but so today, in Mikey Fernelli fashion, I'm going to ask you guys, if you could take any attribute from any athlete in any of the professional sports, what would you take? And I'm talking, you could take LeBron James' physique. You could take Wayne Gretzky's hockey IQ. You could take Serena Williams' just dominance. I don't know. But, like, David, lead us off. What attribute from an athlete would you take?
So the first thing I thought of was probably me in some type of rec league pulling up from like 50 feet. So I'm going to have to take Steph Curry range.
Okay.
I think that'd just be so cool.
Steph Curry shooting. That's a good pick. Andy P.
I'm going to go with Bryce Harper's swing and like the power that he has with his swing. Cause I feel like that's multifaceted because not only can you be really good at baseball, you can also use that power in golf. And then also too, if you have like any critters running around your house, you can swing the bat and just get rid of a bunch of critters. I was thinking just like, using in everyday life kind of stuff.
Very cool. And going with the versatility pick there, I can appreciate it. I'm going to go the hockey route. Shocker. I'm going to go with Connor McDavid's speed because he is a front runner for MVP. Just a little later in the show, maybe we'll ask Jake Pearson that as well, because if Andy P's in the studio, you know Jake Pearson can't be too far behind. But before that, we got to talk some Redbird sports. And we had a loaded weekend, especially this Halloween weekend. It was a little bit spooky in Fargo, North Dakota, as the Redbirds fell to the North Dakota State Bison 24-7.
Yeah, and we're getting to the point of the year where every game really has some type of significance behind it, and the fact that they weren't able to go in and compete a little bit better to help their chances at winning, it just only makes their jobs in the future a little bit tougher. As we talked about it before the show, this is almost a must win.
Well, it was a must win, and then this weekend they're going to go in and play Youngstown State on basically what is going to depend on them making the playoffs if they can take this W, because their next weekend, I believe, is South Dakota State, who has been probably the best team in the Missouri Valley Conference and also gave us that very unentertaining game against Iowa. So, but looking at the game, Illinois State did kick off this scoring with a touchdown from tight end Daniel Sobkowitz, and he's got a cool story because he's leading the team in touchdowns, and he was a walk-on just a few years ago.
Yeah, just a great opportunity for him to be able to go out and take some of that offensive pressure off of the QB. He's a reliable target. He has been for the past 2 weeks. I know me and Blake had a call about 2 weeks ago where he, you know, at a pivotal point in the game, got caught a touchdown pass, which put the Redbirds on top, and they will ultimately go on winning that game. I just think the more help that this quarterback can get in the Redbirds offense, the better.
Yeah, and just the whole being a walk-on thing is such a cool story because it's not something you hear about a lot. You hear about walk-ons, but you never hear about them leading the team that they're on in such a significant category like touchdowns. That's just a great story. So hopefully you know, you just, you hope from a story standpoint and just rooting for a guy, inspirational kind of thing, that he keeps playing well.
And he'll be huge for the Birds down the stretch, but I also want to touch on how they came out of the first quarter with a tie with a very good team, and honestly a very impressive defensive stand against this team. They only allowed 174 passing yards and one touchdown to quarterback Cam Miller. And also, too, their leading rusher only had 51 yards, but that rushing attack of North Dakota State has so many weapons. They had three guys with over nine attempts.
And it reminds you a little bit of the first week of the season when Illinois State went against Wisconsin. Up until halftime, we were talking in the booth. We went to the game and called it, how good of a game Illinois State was putting up versus one of the top teams in the nation in Wisconsin. Last week was no different. I think one of the things that really started to go against the Redbirds' favor is just all-out sheer talent. Like you said, there were a lot of versatile and plug-in plays that, you know, the other team last week used against the Redbirds, and, you know, ultimately it hurt them.
Yeah, and then just kind of talking more about just North Dakota State's rushing attack. When you have guys who can, you know, you can mix and match their types of running styles and, you know, how they play the game, and then they're putting 206 yards of rushing down for the game. That's something that's really hard to deal with, and it obviously opens up your offense a little bit for North Dakota State. So just kind of, you know, the score doesn't look great, but kind of an impressive just effort from Illinois State on the other side, at least for that first half for sure.
So going into this week, we talked about how crucial a win would be coming out of the gate here at home, you know, with everything that we have riding on the season. What do you think the Redbirds need to benefit from or attack the most of in this coming up week?
Well, I think it's definitely being more of a team that's able to finish. We saw against Indiana State how they put up, what was it, 20 points in the first half and only came away with I can't remember how many points exactly, but it was one or less scores against the not very good Indiana State team. And you saw that this team started hot against North Dakota State. So they're going to have to look to really beat this Youngstown State team, because this is it. This is the season right here. You're not going to make the playoffs, so you can't beat them unless you pull out a miraculous upset against South Dakota State.
And, you know, you just said it right there. I think one of the things that we get lost in so much as viewers of the game and not just players is that those first few drives in the game are scripted anyway, from film study, from weekly preparation for the opponent. Those are scripted. They probably have a list of about 2 to 3 plays that they can audible from. It's going to be the offense's most comfortable plays to run, and that's why you see a lot of production in the earlier parts of the game. It's like you said, Dane, when we get to the later parts of the game where the offensive game plan isn't as scripted as you would think, where stuff starts to break down.
Yeah, it's always kind of makes you wonder why they don't just script the whole game. You know, I don't know why that's not a thing. I remember, I mean, I'm just coming at this from being a Bears fan. I remember just hearing about how Nagy, Coach, you know, rest in peace, Coach Nagy, would script like the first 20 plays, and you just wonder why they don't do that. The rest of the game, obviously, situations change, but you definitely just want to be in control of your own destiny, and that's really what's going on with the Redbirds this week. Is you want to win every game, but you can look a little bit ahead of your schedule and see that there might be a tougher matchup, so you just want to control your own destiny.
Andy P, always critical of the coaches. Speaking of coaches, moving on to the hardcore, we got to see a look at Ryan Peden's squad against Wooster in a scrimmage, and boy, was that a shellacking. 84-49 of a final, and the boys looked good. They looked ready to roll.
I mean, it's everything that I think a lot of the Redbird community has been looking forward to. They've been finally looking for this men's basketball team to take that next step, with a lot of players being young players with ill experience. They finally start to show a little bit something, and it was really encouraging.
And not to mention, too, they have a couple of transfers leading the way, with Colton Sandage, who is from, I believe, Western Illinois, putting up 23 points on 7 of 12 shooting. Then you have Joe Petrakis, who scored 10 points on 4 of 8. But you still got your incumbent players like Kendall Lewis, who went 1 for 3 from the 3-point line, 4 for 8 shooting and 13 points. Really seemed like it was an overall team effort, with only one player in Colton Sandage scoring over 20 points. But honestly, it's just really nice to see how much these coaches, especially the new ones, supporting each other and always talking about how they have to change the culture for Illinois State sports.
I do, real quick, just want to, before we start talking about the coaches a little bit more, I do want to point out, too, that not only is Sandage from Western Illinois, he's also a Bloomington High School graduate. So he's got the Redbird blood already, of course, and through him. But yeah, the coaches definitely looks like the coaching staff is a little bit more, I don't know, not compatible, but they're a lot more communicative with each other, I guess is what I'm trying to say. I was at the game on Sunday, I believe, and it looked like the coaches, besides Peden, were leading the huddle, and they had a little bit more to do than maybe under past head coaches, Dan Mueller.
Mikey Pernelli's ears are hot right now. He's
miles away from us, and it's like the bat signal has just been lit up, and he just knows that name was said on air. But definitely just seems like there's a lot more, I don't know, more, like, coaches have more to do. There's just a lot more of a welcome atmosphere to new ideas and things like that.
The players have something new to buy into.
Oh, for sure.
It really
seems
like...
Bring the swagger back.
I love that, Coach Peden, with that saying. But it seems like last year the coach lost the room. And you could tell it from the body language on the court. And you're bringing in, like, two or three transfers. Seneca Knight, I am really, really excited for. He's the transfer from BYU who didn't get much playing time there, but was an absolute stud at San Jose State. But we have a whole season ahead of us to talk about basketball. Let's keep it on the hard court and move over to volleyball, where their season's wrapping up, and they had a very nice win against SIUC, and Allie Matters actually was down in WZND today showing her parents around. So that was just a cool little note. But they looked absolutely dominant against SIUC, who at the time of the match was in third place in the Missouri Valley Conference, and definitely something the team looks to build on after losing to Missouri State 3-0 just one night before.
You know, I'm just so happy with how this season has really panned out. I know on the record it doesn't look as appealing, but you have to give props to head coach Allie Matters. All throughout the season, she has had to endure enforcing change, enforcing a new tone to the locker room, and it translates to the court, because you see these youngsters starting to come up and make plays. You know, it hasn't been easy this entire year, but something good is coming out of the strategy that Coach Allie Matters and company has, you know, enforced.
I think the future is also really bright. I think, you know, it's unfortunate, you know, we all loved Nicole Lund and Prunzinski, and it's unfortunate to see them retire during their last year, but with the freshmen stepping up and the freshmen really being the ones to lead the charge this year, I think not only does it set up a nice end of the season, but also you're excited for what's to come in, you know, Allie Matters' second year, third year, whatever, you know, her future, right? You have Ada Shadowald with 15 kills in their last match, right? You have Reagan Hayth leading the way as well. So you have young players, freshmen, who are basically the MVPs of the team this year, and they're only going to get better. They're not finished products yet.
The building blocks are there. I wouldn't say necessarily MVPs of the team, maybe best newcomers, but you still got Katie Weimer-Skirch and Sarah Kushner leading the way. But I couldn't agree with you more with Reagan Hayth. She looks like she's an absolute stud in the making. And there was something about the energy of the team on Halloween weekend against SIUC. They just looked fresher. They looked better. Their only loss was in the third set, which was honestly, they lost on kind of a controversial call, which I believe it was an attack error that they said went out of bounds. I don't think it did. It was 25-23 on that one, but overall in the sets, they just dominated. And then the fourth set, when it came down to brass tacks, I believe Katie Weimer-Skirch had three service aces against SIUC, and the team just looked dominant. They were definitely carried by some of your younger players in Ada Shadowell, but then you had Kalia Club, who also had 15 kills. She's a junior. But this team's got building blocks, and there's a lot to look forward to this upcoming weekend. I believe Nora Yanka is looking for her 1,000th assist as well, which she'll be trying to record tomorrow. Me and Tim Zalbeck will be on that call.
Timmy
Z action, friend of the pod. But honestly, this team, I don't want to write them off yet. There's a lot of volleyball left to be played. If they can qualify for this Missouri Valley Conference tournament, they might be a force to be reckoned with. I love to, they're getting Kendi Hilliard a little bit more involved in the offense too, especially as the game ends. Remember asking Allie Matters if that was intentional when Sarah Kushner was hurt? She said, no, the ball just kind of finds Kendi, and you know what? She's never afraid to swing at it. She does get a little over aggressive sometimes and puts it in the net, but you know what? When she gets full force on that ball, no one wants to be on the other side of that net.
That was a common thing that was happening during the game I called with our boy Timmy Z just last week, where it felt like Kendi Hilliard was like almost always there on the third hit to, you know, kill it over the other side. But it was just a matter of putting the right amount of force. She just had a couple plays where she just hit it way too hard and got a little bit too overzealous with it. But when she does get, when she is right and she's hitting it, you know, within the bounds of the court, it's not anything you want to be on the other end of.
And to wrap this segment up, they do have Drake November 5th, which is going to be this Friday. I'll be on the call for that one. And then I believe they followed that up with first place UNI on, or no, sorry, they play UNI tomorrow, and then they follow that up with Drake. I'll be on the call for UNI, and then Tim Zalbach will be back on the call with first-time caller commentary Hannah Berg. So that will bring us a wrap to this segment. When we come back, David Moses's chops are absolutely going crazy as the Bears had a great trade deadline. A little bit more on that right after this quick break.
This is Barstool Big Cat, and you're listening to The Red Zone on 103.3 WZND.
That was Barstool Big Pat. That was Barstool Big Cat, and welcome back to the Red Zone on 103.3 WZND. It's a Fernelli-less edition of the Red Zone, which is kind of weird considering the fact just 2 weeks ago we had two Fernellis, then we went back down to one last week, and now we're down to zero Fernellis. And I'm going to give David Moses the mic here in a second, but I have to get my props. I called Chase Claypool to the Bears, and we need your thoughts ASAP.
You know, you sure did. What was that, last week?
It was last week, and I did have Darnell Mooney going the other way as well. But to send back that second round draft capital, whether it not be the Ravens, it was their own second round pick, I think it's a smart move for the Bears.
You know, it's not a bad move. I think anything that you're adding to the receiving core and the help of the development of Justin Fields is positive. And Chase Claypool, he had a really good rookie year. Sophomore year, he had a little bit of a slump. That was when we saw Big Ben start to take his massive decline. And, you know, other than that, I really liked his career so far. This year, he didn't have as much production because, you know, you have Mitchell Trubisky in your backfield throwing you passes. That's not a recipe for anything. But I like the trade so far.
And I mean, he's competing for touches with George Pickens in Pittsburgh, and they're going through a QB transfer, whether it be Trubisky or Pickens. But, NEP, what do you think?
I think it's a great trade. I think it's one of those things where what sucks is giving up the second round pick, but you're also giving up, you know what you have in Chase Claypool. You have a guy who has the potential to be a number one receiver. You have a guy who has had over 800 yards in his first two seasons, over 60 catches. We don't have anybody like that on the team. Darnell Mooney had over 1,000 last year, but he's not having a great year right now, and he's still kind of, he's not as accomplished in his short career than as Claypool is, and there's just a lot of kind of randomness to second round picks and everything like that. After the first round, the NFL draft is just best of luck. Well, so I'm all for the Claypool trade.
I couldn't agree more with the Claypool trade, and I agree with the ceiling. I'm a Packer fan. I'm upset we didn't go get him. Because if you've looked this past couple years, the receiver classes have been absolutely loaded. But because of that, teams have been investing more draft capital and moving up in the first round and selecting these receivers. If you look at Jahan Dotson, he was projected to be a late first rounder. The Commanders move up and they go get a mid first. Chris Olave was projected to be a mid to late first rounder. The Saints move up and make him, the third wide receiver taken? I believe after Drake London was first and Garrett Wilson was second, right?
Third, yep.
And then he came right
after Garrett Wilson.
And you just see this run of receivers also leaving the Packers to get Christian Watson in the second. And I think it's a great move for the Bears. You know what this does for polls is it really cements that he does believe in Justin Fields, because he did not commit to him whatsoever. This is the first commitment Ryan Poles has made to Justin Fields, because he wanted to evaluate the talent that he had from previous ownership and management. And he wasn't committal at all. And I think if you're going to invest draft capital into a player like Chase Claypool, why not?
So you give up arguably your best player on the team in general in Roquan Smith. And like you said, the first move that you make after that is towards the offensive side of the ball, helping out Justin Fields. That's exactly the indication that I think Bears fans should be taken out of this situation, is that Ryan Poles is going to help this offense. He understands that in the receiving court, over the past four games, Justin Fields has made it look a little bit better, but talent-wise, we still aren't there. You had a massive upgrade when you added Chase Claypool. Now you can move Darnell Mooney to the slot, allow him to get a little bit more touches while throwing the ball up to the big guy in Chase Claypool. Now they need probably about one more decent receiver. Maybe they're going to get him in the draft. Like you said, the draft is pretty deep with wide receiver this year. I'm liking somebody maybe like a Jackson Smith and Jigba or what's the guy from
You could go the other side of the field for Ohio State and go Marvin Harrison Jr. if he's draft eligible. That's very true as well. I'm not sure if he's draft eligible yet.
Is it the son of Marvin Harrison?
It is,
but completely different body type.
Really?
This kid is 6'4", high points the ball beautifully.
That's awesome.
And as a Packer fan,
I'm always down for getting sons of people, you know, Bo Bichette.
You're not wrong. I mean, I remember back
Michael Jordan's son.
Right, exactly. I remember there was a defensive back that the Chargers ended up drafting, and he's pretty good, that my Bears insider best friend Matthew Schlifke wanted them to grab, and I'm blanking on his name, and I'm sure I'll come up with it the second the show ends. But I agree, when you have the pedigree and the athleticism, going to grab a son of a player isn't bad.
You know, we can't end off this segment without talking about the trade on the other side of the ball in Roquan Smith it was a second rounder and a fifth rounder this year.
Mm-hmm.
That does a lot, not just to your team, but to the locker room. A lot of guys in that locker room were younger, inexperienced, and they looked to Roquan Smith, who was a little bit more of a veteran, although he was still young. I think was, what is he, 25, 26?
Right in that range.
So, you are a first year head coach moving to a 4-3 defense, and you just gave up your best player on defense. It's like, what direction are you going in? But management and Matt Eberflus did mention that they wanted to keep Roquan around. The money just was looking a little too funny.
I mean, what are you going to do too? You're going to franchise tag an off ball linebacker?
It's not 1985.
No. And you need to rush the quarterback. And I think you just opened up the checkbook for the next offseason too. And you can go sign a receiver if you need to. I'm jealous as a Packer fan right now. I think Fields might not be the guy. Poles is the guy.
Okay. Well, talk to me at the end of the year, Dane.
No, I'm not saying he isn't the guy. I want to see a little bit more.
Yeah.
I want to see the passing chops a little bit more. There's no question. He might be, I would argue he might be one of the most elusive quarterbacks in the pocket, but I want to see him go through his progressions, through his reads, and develop this connection with Chase Claypool before I go, he is the guy.
I totally agree with you. It was last week's game when they were in the third quarter when I noticed Justin Fields had only completed 4 passes for about 47. That's just so unacceptable for a modern day QB today. So maybe this Claypool pick can help him extend some of his numbers, force them to throw the ball a little bit more, but who knows? The Bears are an interesting situation right now.
You see the 4 passes, but it's also like, who is he throwing to besides Darnell? Well,
disrespect Equanimeous St. Brown like that.
Yeah, he's been all right for like a 3 or 4, but I don't know. It's one of those things where Fields has definitely not been impressive in the passing game, but he's not getting helped out in the passing game. And this is why the Claypool trade is so just important, to just have another body to throw to. I mean, he's had like 4 or 5 amazing passes in the last few games that are just dropped, you know?
Yeah, and your receiver's got to catch the ball as a Packer fan. I know that all too well right now. We're not talking Taylor Swift. We're talking football, though. But David, I got to ask you, like, and I asked my best friends this. I feel like I'm pretty unbiased when it comes to the Bears, because I like to see the Bears be good. I like the Packer-Bear rivalry to be a lively one. I don't think I'm far off here in judging the Bears. Like, and you know what? I didn't unfairly judge them as an under 6 win team, but you can't tell me after like the first 4 or 5 games this year that you are not impressed for what you are seeing on the on-field product.
The first few weeks of the season, even in the preseason, I started to really take note of the Hitch principle that new head coach Matt Eberflus is really trying to ingrain in that foundation as a whole. You just saw the effort, the hustle, the all 12 men to the ball. You just saw the energy that the team played with overall. You started to see them kind of get out of that, you know, towards where we're at right now in the year. And you want to see them play with just a little bit more energy. It's almost like the locker room is kind of sensing, we're not going to be a good team this year. Let's try our best, but, you know, we're not really playing for anything. And, you know, as a front office, you do not want to see that at all.
You want a foundation, though, and I think they are playing for a foundation, and they're setting the foundation for future success. I think they're getting away from the Hitch principle, but I still think there's a lot that's happening now that's going to be important, you know, when the Bears are hopefully contending.
And you know what? I've had enough of the Bears talk. Let's talk some winners and losers from the trade deadline. Or is there any other trades that caught your guys' eyes?
I'll tell you who the biggest loser is, and okay, that's Aaron Rodgers. I'm sorry.
You're not wrong. I completely agree.
It
makes me so happy, though.
They neglect to add to, you know, you've seen how tough it's been so far this year for him to move the ball on offense. And I still believe Aaron Rodgers, when he has the appropriate weapons around him, he's arguably one of the best quarterbacks in the league.
Mm-hmm.
But he just doesn't have that.
No, so he has no weapons.
You would have thought that the Packers organization would have noticed that and maybe gotten a Chase Claypool, or, you know, they were talking about Brandon Cooks. You know, he's definitely a loser in this.
And for me, my big winner from the trade deadline is absolutely the Miami Dolphins.
Interesting.
If you look at actually the package they got for Trey Lance, there was other picks involved, but they got, out of just the Trey Lance draft pick, those picks were used to get Tyreek Hill, Jalen Waddle, and Bradley Chubb, which are all franchise cornerstone pieces. And that's not even mentioning they picked up Jeff Wilson, which I think their most suspect part of their team was their run game. I'm not a Raheem Mostert guy. I think he's in the twilight of his career. I know he was kind of a late bloomer, but injuries added up quickly and took out his best years of football. Chase Edmonds is more of a utility back, not really meant to be a feature back. Jeff Wilson, on the other hand, I don't think he's necessarily a feature back, but can really contribute in a committee backfield where he was kind of doing it by himself in San Francisco. And this Dolphins team is a real contender this year for the big game, in my opinion.
It's going to open up the run game. Having, like you said, that utility back in Jeff Wilson, him being able to come in on that third down, maybe the Dolphins will roll out a play action pass, kind of catch the defense off guard. That's something that you didn't have with, who did you say, was it?
Chase Edmonds or Raheem Mostert?
Raheem Mostert, yeah, definitely not. So Jeff Wilson's definitely going to add that, you know, third down run ability, which is ultimately going to help the receivers in playoffs, in play action situations.
Mm-hmm, for sure. That's a great trade, but I also think that so far, because we've actually gotten to see like two games of him on the team, is Christian McCaffrey on the 49ers. I think
that's fair to say that's pre-deadline moves.
That was 2 weeks before the deadline, so mm-hmm. It's kind of easy to forget about that, but I think that's been such a huge trade for them. It just makes their offense even more pliable, even more explosive. And he had a game on Sunday against the Rams where he threw for a touchdown, which is insane, and then also ran for a touchdown and
passed a touchdown, or he caught one.
He caught one, he threw for one, and then he ran for one.
Yeah.
And that hasn't happened since LaDainian Tomlinson in 2005.
I think that's his player comparison, to be honest.
And, you know, before we end off this segment, I just want to talk about, they didn't make any, they made the Roquan trade, and I believe that was it for the Ravens during this trade deadline. But it's going to hurt them in the long run having no receivers. Rashad Bateman just went down for the year with, I believe it was a foot injury. He's going to have surgery on it. And I would have liked to see them make a move in the wide receiver room. They didn't make one. They're going to be losers for that as well.
I like you. That is losers. A sneaky good pickup for me though, it's going to be Nyheim Hines for the Buffalo Bills.
Oh yes.
A true pass catching back. And we'll get into it in a couple minutes because Devin Singletary owners in fantasy football, I think they're a little bit on the watch right now because he's been a solid running back too. And with the addition of Nyheim Hines, that production might slip quite a bit in a very pass heavy offense. But overall, that's your winners and losers from the trade deadline. We'll take a quick break. And when we get back, we've got news and sports intern Jake Pearson on for the Fantasy 15. We'll take a quick break and be right back.
This is Barstool Big Cat, and you're listening to The Red Zone on 103.3 WZND.
And that was Barstool Big Cat, and this is 103.3 WZND, The Red Zone, the pulse of Redbird Nation. And we bring on someone who definitely has their finger on the pulse of Redbird Nation. It's news and sports intern Jake Pearson. How are you today, Jake?
Dane, I am doing excellent right now. Thank you for asking.
Now, we opened up the pod with asking if you could have any attribute from any athlete ever, what would you take?
This might be a little off, but I've been thinking about this, all right?
Okay.
Justin Jefferson's dancing ability so he can teach me how to do the green.
And a little introduction to Jake Pearson. He's a little bit of the bit guy around WZND, so we'll see if Office funny guy. And we'll see. He's not making Mikey Fernelli's picks. Andy P is, but I would love if Andy P can sewer him in the pick six, but we're not talking pick six right now. It's time for the Fantasy 15, where we're going to talk about the news and sports fantasy football league. It is a 12-man PPR league, and the standings, it is a mess right now.
It's rough.
Me and Jake Pearson have a little bit of a side bet if you'd like to inform the listeners, Jake.
We do. So earlier in this season, I was going to say destroyed, but that is absolutely not the correct way to put it.
No.
Dane and I played against each other in fantasy, head-to-head. I think I won by 8 points, if I'm not mistaken, at the time at least.
I couldn't get into that Saquon sweet spot where I needed him to score, what was it, like 10 and 20 points?
Something like that.
And I feel, because you have Saquon in this league, right?
I do. I have Derrick Henry and Saquon.
Okay, pump the brakes there. I have Eckler and Damian Pierce, too.
Okay.
So, and which I will be watching Damian Pierce go tonight, and I'm not looking forward to that. But as the league standings currently say, and I interrupted the whole purpose of the story. I'm sorry, you rattled me, Jake.
So we went head to head. I happened to win, and we made a bet on air. It was Tuesday as our newscast, and I said, you know what? Let's bet a pedicure on this. I don't remember how the feet came into it, but let's bet a pedicure on it. Next
certified
time we play.
Foot guy.
No.
I mean, it is football. Jesus,
hey, you know what? Hey. Football's got feet in it, right?
Well, I was talking about how I had just gotten, I was going to get a pedicure for a wedding I had coming up.
That's right.
As this is very red zone themed right now as we're talking about pedicures. But I thought I played Jake Pearson again in this fantasy football year, so that's where we bet the pedicure on, and I do not. So I think the bet.
We don't?
We don't. We have a playoff, here's the stipulations on the bet. Either playoff matchup, if we play each other, that will be where the bet is had, or whoever finishes
with a higher record? Yeah.
Okay, regular season record the second stipulation?
Yeah, okay.
I'm fine with that because I'm liking my schedule for the rest of the year.
You heard it here live. The bet is set.
we shook on it once, but I'll tell you what. You want to shake on it again?
We'll shake on it right now. The Hertz Donuts.
Nobody can see it, but
my team's your mom's favorite.
Dave and I can attest that happened.
We're witnesses. The shake happened.
So,
you know, where were you when the shake happened?
Going back, you know, this fantasy year has just been a struggle for me. The Chicago Holy Moses train is just not really churning now.
It looks good week one.
Week one, it looked pretty good. You know, I think that was the only productive week that Jonathan Taylor had. And other than that, he has just been a pain in my butt.
Not to cut you off, but I did see a tweet that, Jonathan Taylor is basically like 2021. Jonathan Taylor is like the most recent form of insanity we've had in a while. Like an athlete having.
I'm a Badger fan, and Jonathan Taylor is one of the most talented backs we've seen in a while, and he will be back with a vengeance. But David, you have him in two of your leagues. How many leagues are you in?
Wow.
Probably around 5 to 6 leagues.
I'm wow.
Yeah.
I'm stretching myself pretty thin here at 4. But honestly,
it got to a point where I was just so tired of drafting. I was just going with the same guys. Who do I want to
see? And that's a risky play, but it could be huge.
That's where you get your depth, though.
Yeah.
If it works out. Now, I want everyone to take a quick look at their team here. And oh my gosh, Austin Eckler is questionable. Now I'm a little worried. But I want you to tell me who's your start of the week and who's your sit of the week. And we'll start it off with the, how do you say your team name, Andy P?
It's the Petrushevsky Iguanodons.
What's an iguanodon? So, and please tell me it's FCC.
Have you ever seen the dinosaur movie like that came out in like 2000? It was like a Disney movie.
Are you talking about Land Before Time?
No, it's like a CGI movie. It's like...
It's just called Dinosaurs?
Yeah, and there's a ride called Dinosaur at Animal Kingdom.
Yo,
and like that's like
that
the main character, of... I don't even know if it's a real dinosaur. I just really think Iguanodon is like funny, and so it's also
it sounds good.
Putting it in conjunction with my own last name, you just have like the longest name ever for a fantasy sports team.
I also like that all of our team names are appropriate and like FCC regulated, so we can talk about it on air.
Where nobody has a bad word in it. Somebody has like a little bit iffy one, but we don't have to say it.
We'll just call him out. I know what you're talking about.
All right, if we're going into start of the week though, Josh Jacobs has been on a tear. Last week was not great, but Josh Jacobs, my lord, the whole season has just been my MVP. He's really been, like, because last week I had, I don't know, 3 players out. The week before I had 3 players out. But Josh Jacobs has been keeping me in games and keeping me in weeks. And I'll tell you what, Ezekiel Elliott every year is a sit. He's just so disappointing. I think people convince themselves that he's going to be good. You know, that he's going to be valuable to your team. And then he's just, like, the worst. Like, I mean, he, like, gives you, like, 10 points, but he's not 26. People think it's 2016 still.
Yeah, Jerry Jones. When you say people still think it's 2016, it's just Jerry Jones.
Jerry Jones just likes giving people that have his money already more money. So that's, he's just happy to keep him around.
Jake Pearson with your mom's favorite team. Who's your start of the week?
You know, last week Derrick Henry had a bye. This week Saquon Barkley has a bye.
Aww.
I need Derrick Henry to step up this week to take care of my team because otherwise I've got Khalil Herbert starting.
Oh, I think that's a fine start.
Now.
Yeah, that's solid.
Let me talk about Khalil Herbert here.
You've had issues with him.
He is, I mean, just like the Bears offense, so on and off this season. Some games, he's charging up there for two touchdowns. Sometimes he gets, I don't know, maybe three or four carries.
That's not his fault, though.
It's not.
He
it's
should
not.
Be getting a majority of the touches. And how did we work this back into the Bears?
I want to say
when it comes back,
Khalil Herbert is the leading touchdown scorer for the Bears this season, if I'm not wrong.
You have six touchdowns. You have six of, yeah, six of the not, seven touchdowns.
It's not impressive, but I think, you know, he's improving week after week. And to be completely honest with you, I was shocked that the Bears didn't trade away David Montgomery.
I mean, it's interesting to see that some of these players that didn't get moved, that were kind of hyped up like they were, like DJ Moore, David Montgomery. I think it's because the asking price was just so astronomical that teams were just like, we'll just keep it as like, we'll pretend like we got them as a deadline piece to add to our team. It's like, wait, what? That's just bad logic. That's just poor asset management, in my opinion.
But besides that, I have four players on bye this week.
I have three, so stop complaining.
Which is just rough. But last couple weeks, I've been really, really struggling with quarterback game, because I have, as you guys were talking about earlier in the show, Aaron Rodgers, who typically should be doing the job just fine starting as my quarterback in every other season except for 2022. So I decided to pick up Jimmy Garoppolo after Trey Lance got injured.
Oh, he's so handsome.
Jimmy Garoppolo is on a bye. And apparently Aaron Rodgers is questionable, which I'm just now seeing.
He'll play and be atrocious, but so, yeah, continue.
So, I mean, we'll see, but I don't know. I'm going to have a miracle happen this week, because with four players out on a bye, I think this could spell disaster for me. And I'm only 3-5 so far this season, so I got to start picking up.
This might be it. This is your Illinois State versus Youngstown.
Yeah.
Like this is the deal for the playoffs.
Control your destiny.
That's why I said I need Derrick Henry to step up this week, because he's the guy carrying my team.
Now, how does this affect LeBron's legacy?
Yeah, that is good. I ask myself that just about every day. Dan, I tell you what,
Demos, let me get your start of the week for the Chicago Holy Moses.
Yeah, Chicago Holy Moses.
Great name.
So I talked a little bit earlier about Jonathan Taylor, and he's questionable actually to play this week. But if he does play, he will not be starting. I am going to start. Wait, actually, that doesn't make sense. He's not going to play in my book. I'm going to start Deion Jackson. He was the third string running back for the Colts, but he has moved up, if Jonathan Taylor doesn't play, to running back one. In week 6, he had 12 carries for 42 yards and a touchdown, totaling in 28.1 points. And I think that the Colts is starting to like this guy, and he should be seeing more touches this
I game. Like the receptions he got in that one game he started with, he started that one over Hines. And
he had a
Tyler.
Receiving touchdown as well that game, which made it 28 points. So.
Oh, yeah? One of your one good performances this year.
That was my good performance this year.
I don't know. I feel like injuries have probably been the narrative of like this, because this week 9 is the biggest bye week in the NFL this year. I think there's like six teams on the bye week.
Mm-hmm.
I'm struggling.
Why
starting
they schedule it like that?
Because they love making their fans miserable.
Yeah.
It's as this league as this league can
you
get.
You should never have more than like two or three. I feel like maybe four. Like I don't. Just having six is just
in an 18-week season. You should definitely have some.
Am I scheduling this? Because I'm bad at time management. Like, am I scheduling the NFL? I just didn't know.
It's weird because they like. Why do you have like two teams on the bye on like week 4, and then you just have like six week 9? That makes no sense to me.
Yeah.
But is your start Deion Jackson? Your sit Jonathan Taylor?
Yes, right now it is. I'm sorry. Well, I'm starting Deion Jackson with the anticipation that Jonathan Taylor is a no go. If Jonathan Taylor plays this week, I don't know. We might have to revisit it. But as of right now, Deion Jackson is my start.
You know that if like you have Jonathan Taylor on your bench and he can go, he's gonna have like the game of his life. Like that's how cruel fantasy football is. I had Tyler Boyd on my bench like two weeks ago when he had like a 30-point game. I almost lost that week. I almost lost to Mikey, and he had three players that were on bye in his starting lineup. I only beat him by 3 points.
Well, in my big money league, I lost last week by 7 points. I had DK Metcalf sitting on my bench with George Pickens and Daniel Carlson both throwing up big goose eggs. Yeah. So that one I was a little salty about. But I guess it's my turn for the WZND Fantasy Football League for my start and sit of the week. I'm going over to America's team, which is Atlanta, because they've covered a lot this year. And I am starting Josh Palmer of the Los Angeles Chargers, who is playing against Atlanta. And Keenan Allen re-aggravated his hamstring. Mike Will Made It is out. Austin Eckler apparently has an abdominal injury, because if you're on the Chargers, you're hurt. and Justin Herbert.
Best training staff. You know,
yeah, the best masseuses after they punctured his thumb.
Yeah. Keenan Allen played one game, said that he was hopefully going to be back next week, has not been back since. Actually, no, I think he did.
You sound
Keenan
frustrated.
Allen,
is
he on
your team? Oh yeah, oh yeah, frustrated. Yeah. I drafted Keenan Allen.
What round?
Just rough. But he sat. I'm looking at on the fantasy app right now, and it says that he sat out on Thursday's practice.
Lovely.
Yeah.
What else is new?
Yeah. No, I'm pumped because I also have Justin Herbert, and he's been not in this league. This league is kind of probably on my priority list, probably 4 out of 4, but it's probably my best overall team. So my start of the week is Josh Palmer. My sit of the week, I'm going to go Brian Robinson here against Minnesota. Now, Brian Robinson has been a hot button topic, especially after getting shot early in the season. Speaking of which, a 17-year-old was actually just arrested in relation to the shooting of Brian Robinson. But I'm sitting him. He was a really nice stash for me, and I thought that he was going to go off once he came back. Washington still really likes to keep Antonio Gibson involved in this offense, especially as a pass-catching back. I still think Brian Robinson's going to get 15 to 20 touches a game, but his touchdown dependency is making him not very startable this week, especially in a week with a lot of buys. So I'm rolling with Austin Ekeler and Damian Pierce as my running backs, and I'm just going to flex Curtis Samuel. It's been a little disappointing since Heineke has taken over the reins at quarterback with Carson Wentz injuring his finger against the worst team in the NFL, the Chicago Bears. But
hey, Daniel, we can be here all night.
Yeah. We can be here all night?
Yeah. We can be here all night.
Oh, my God.
Well,
should we get somebody involved?
overall, my matchup this week is luckily against Team Cherry, a.k.a. Matt Cherry's team, where not only did he not name his team, he rarely sets his lineup.
He also auto-drafted like the last 10 rounds.
He has 4 wins.
Dude,
there's always somebody that does that, man, every year.
Literally, half of our league, five of our 12 teams in the league are sitting at 4-4, with 4 teams sitting at worse records than that. Matt Cherry is one of the teams at 4-4 when he doesn't set his lineup, which is mind-blowing. I also am pretty rattled that
he's
I lost.
He's a nice guy. I'll give it to him.
I'm not happy I lost to Berger Ferguson last week.
Berger Ferguson?
With his running backs being Aaron Jones and Devin Singletary, that was very frustrating as Andy P's microphone is falling apart at the seams. That seems like a good time to take a break. We'll be right back after a few quick messages.
Guys.
Hey, this is Dickie V, baby, and you're listening to The Red Zone, baby, only on 103.3 WCMT.
That was Dick Vitale, and this is The Red Zone on 103.3 WZND. It's that time of week. It's time for the Pick 6. And Fernelli's not here, which makes me sad. Actually, no, it doesn't. I don't have to hear him talk about Thomas Edward Brady Patrick Jr. I don't even know if I'm saying his name correctly.
Just keep adding names.
But we do have a full slate, and usually Fernelli does like to save the Thursday night game for last. With how lopsided the game looks like it could be, with the underdog being a 14-point underdog, we're going to start it off with the Texans and Eagles. Demos, who do you got?
There's no way the Eagles are losing their undefeated season to the Texans. Although the Texans have had a pretty strong run game and the rookie Damian Pierce, I do not see them beating the Eagles whatsoever. I'm going Eagles W.
We go to our guest slot with Jake Pearson. What do you got?
Absolutely, the Eagles are going to win. I mean, nobody thinks the Texans are going to win.
Wait. Andy P., hear me out.
I'll go with the Texans.
I'll
go with the Texans.
Oh, you're picking for Mikey Fernelli?
Me and Mikey talked about this earlier, but I'm going to just go against it because, I don't know, I just want to be a jerk.
Okay. Let's rock. We got Mikey Fernelli taking the Houston Texans.
Yeah. I'm sorry, Mikey. I just think it's funny if they win. Or funny if I pick them. So I'm just going with the Texans because they have no shot, but I want to be the Mike Ditka of the Texans situation.
Man.
Well, as we're all going to get a free win over Mikey, I'm going to take the Philadelphia Eagles. Steve will as well. We move on to a much different game in the Lions and the Packers. Call it the Steve versus Dane game. And I will let Mikey Fernelli's fill-in, Andrew Petrushevsky, take the lead.
Which game was this one again? I'm sorry.
Detroit versus Green Bay?
I'm going to go with the Lions. I'm going to go with the Lions, man. The Packers are just on a complete and utter. I'm just kidding. I'm going with the Packers.
Okay.
I just wanted to see if I could get 2 picks in a row and make you guys mad.
As a Packer fan, I think the Lions could take it. It's at Ford Field.
It's closer. I think it's a lot closer than people are. You know, think it's going to be just because the Packers have obviously like the success over the years, but the Packers, I still think like Rodgers is not going to lose to.
I think the Packers are only 3.5 point favorites, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
Wow. That's it.
Those are just numbers to me, Dane. I'm just kidding.
Hey, good teams win, great teams cover.
Yeah.
And speaking of a great team, we move on to Jake Pearson. Jake.
Packers got in the bag.
Okay.
Let's face it. Right.
Going with the Packers. I mean,
you smoking that Packers hat?
The problem is that as much as I despise the Packers, and I wish the Packers an eternal life of loss and suffering just because I'm a huge Bears fan. But no, the Packers take this one.
It was a pack of cheese.
In the bag.
So I think I'm going to go with the Packers on this one.
Okay.
I'm sorry, Aaron Rodgers. I mean, I think he's still the king of the NFC North. And there's no way he's losing the Detroit Lions.
Mm.
Despite how good the Detroit Lions have played in high-scoring games, they've had a couple of 30-point games. I think they had a 40-point game against Seattle. Both teams scored 40. So, I mean, it could be a pretty good game to watch. But ultimately, I think the Packers got this one in bag.
For some reason, my brain is telling me Lions. But my heart is telling me Packers, so I'm going to go Packers here. I don't know why. This team has given me nothing to look forward to. They've been sewering me in the pick six. And Steve's going to go with Detroit, shocking. He's going to go with Detroit versus everyone in the Lions. So we move on to a game that is a little bit more interesting, in my opinion, in the Bears and Dolphins, coming off a couple of good weeks.
Bears.
We'll go back to Demos to tell me why he thinks the Bears are going to beat the Dolphins.
Well, that wasn't, I don't know if that was my pick. You know, I haven't gone with my Bears the past few weeks, but if we're being realist right here, you've got a receiving core over in Miami that's probably the fastest in the league going against Jalen Johnson, Kendall Vildor, and what is it, Kyler Gordon? I'll take my chances with the Dolphins. I'm going to go with Miami win.
David plays to win. Jake Pearson, do you play to win?
Bear down.
Oh, boy.
I play to lose.
At least you know.
I don't understand the rules of this game.
The Bears will not win.
Spoken like a true Bears fan. I play to lose.
If I manifested hard enough, maybe they have...
What's the score of the game?
A shot of losing by 12.
What's the score of the game? 0-0. Who's winning? The Bears.
Man, everybody who watched, that's who's winning. Man, it's going to be a rough one. I'm picking with the Bears. I am picking for Mikey, so I do kind of have to, keep lockstep with one of his picks. I'm also a Bears fan, so go Bears.
Yeah. He did tell me this week that he might have picked against the Bears, but I think he's saving for his first time picking against the Bears to be live and in studio, which makes a lot of sense. Me and Steve are both going to go with Miami, I think, for likely reasons. I do love the over in this game, though, because I think the Bears' offense is finding their identity, and they lost a couple huge pieces on defense. I think it's going to be a shootout. Give me the Dolphins to cover, but I like the over to hit, and I like the Bears' offense to show out a little bit.
Is it a road game? Are the Bears on the road?
No, it's at Soldier Field.
Oh, okay, so that makes it a little bit better. Yeah, yep. I'm still going with the Dolphins.
Yeah,
I mean, they just got Chase Claypool, but how much is he really going to make a difference in this game?
I think it's not going to be as difficult because I feel like the plays that they're going to have drawn up for Claypool are going to be what Equanimeous St. Brown's were,
right?
Which is a lot of jet sweeps, a lot of vertical routes. So I think you'll see more of a heavy dosage of Claypool than you would think. And they gave him – he's got about 3 days to get acclimatized to the offense.
Yeah, so they said they're going to try – Luke gets
acclimatized? You say climatized? Acclimated?
Acclimated.
You mean acclimated?
I hate you.
I was climatized. I was like, I hear about climate change just enough.
Yeah, but it makes sense. It makes sense.
Offensive coordinator.
Wow, Luke you Getsy. Really just did that.
Offensive coordinator Lou Getsy said he's going to get a couple of reps. I don't know how many. Probably not that much. But he will see the field this Sunday.
How does Andy P and Jake Pearson take the Bears, yet I'm the idiot?
I think if we believe and we manifest hard enough, the Bears might just lose by maybe a touchdown.
I think if we were as climatized to like the FanDuel.
Stop it. All right. Quitting while we're ahead, moving on to the Buccaneers and Rams. I'm going to go to Andy P here because remember who plays for the Buccaneers? Mm-hmm. Thomas Edward. Patrick Brady Jr. Still don't know if I'm getting the order correct on that.
Yeah.
And the over hit for how many times I said that with Fernelli gone. What's Fernelli's pick here? I think I'm not even going to give you an opportunity. I'm going to see what your pick is here.
We both agreed on the Rams when we were talking about this earlier.
No, you're kidding.
Man, there's just so much going on with Tampa. I just don't feel good about it. And I know it sucks to like bet against Tom Brady, but I mean, the man is divorced now. I think you can bet against him. He's got other stuff going on in his life. And the Rams just need to get going, man. When are they going to get going? I know they're about 500, just a game under, but they're the Super Bowl, they're the big game champions, and they got to get going soon.
Yeah. I mean, fair enough. I think there's an owl in here. I don't know. I'm going to go with the Buccaneers here. So you heard it here first, folks. Dane Dreyfus takes the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Why did you say it like that?
Tampa Bay Brady-neers.
Brady-neers. And Mikey Fornelli isn't, because Andy P is picking for him. So I'm going to take Tampa Bay. Steve is going to go with the Rams. Jake, what do you got?
I'm going the Rams.
Again, what are you guys watching?
I think Tom Brady's got too much going on right now in his personal life, and I think that maybe that's going to reflect on his performance this week.
What are we talking about? Yeah. PJ Walker? This is Tom Brady.
He's been reading legal books.
PJ Walker did beat Tom Brady.
Tom Brady's been reading legal book, not playbooks.
Speaking of, did you guys see that clip of did you see that clip of Tom Brady yelling at his offense about I left my wife and kids for this or something? Did you see that?
I think we're getting slap happy from the heat down here in the booth.
Yeah, it is hot. We're just throwing things out. It's just, man.
Demos, who do you got?
So I have the Rams down, but you're kind of convincing me, Dane.
No. I need you. Fade me.
I don't know. I might have to go with the Bucks here. Yeah, because last week versus the Ravens, they kind of moved a little bit, but I don't know. I just feel like Tom Brady is going to figure this thing out one week. And who knows? Man. This may be the week. I'm going with the Bucks.
I needed the spread. I feel like you're changing the pick just so you can.
No, I'm a little scared. We'll go with Tom Brady.
All right. Moving on to a game that has another double-digit underdog in the Chiefs and Titans. I'll lead this one off. I really, really love the Titans in this one. I don't know what it is. I'm a firm believer that every team wins a game they should lose and loses a game they should win. I think this is a trap game for the Chiefs against a 5-2 Titans. With that said,
how's that a trap game?
I mean, 12.5 points is true. A lot of points even at Arrowhead.
True.
With that said, I'm taking the Chiefs.
Okay. I would agree with you, I think, on that. I think the Chiefs are going to win. I just think Patrick Mahomes is so unstoppable this season, which is amazing because Tyreek Hill's no longer with the team. He's still there. Like, it just, you would never know if you didn't know anything about football. But
man. So, Jake Pearson?
I'm not gonna lie.
That just went right over his head. He's like,
going into this, you know, we were talking about when we were talking about fantasy, I need Derrick Henry to step up this game.
Oh, he's going with the fantasy play here.
I think I am gonna go with the Chiefs. You guys both convinced me. Thinking about it, Patrick Mahomes, I mean, when is Patrick Mahomes not on his game?
Anytime he plays Tom Brady in the playoffs.
Okay, fair.
When there is overtime that doesn't allow him to get the ball first.
Yeah.
Or just
and whenever his Allen. Brother is there. All right, moving on. David Bowie.
Yeah, whenever his brother's dancing on somebody's logo.
Oh,
okay,
no.
So,
hello, Jackson.
There have been 4 weeks. Is this four? Yeah, 4 weeks in a row. Derrick Henry has had over 100 yards. The last 2 weeks, he's been over 115. Last week, he had 219. I know you said he was on a bye, but he was not. Not last week.
Wait, was it not last week?
No, not last.
They haven't had 2 weeks ago.
It was 2 weeks ago.
2 weeks ago. Okay.
Oh, I apologize.
So last week,
Derrick
Henry. I apologize.
Derrick Henry.
I'm so sorry, Derrick. And that's a deep drive to left field by Nicholas Castellanos. You
know. I don't know if I'll be putting this headset on again.
We're losing our grip, people.
It's so hot.
I just think that the Titans are really rolling right now, so I'm gonna go ahead and go with the Titans. Tennessee over the Chiefs.
Wow.
Yeah. I'm going to take it.
Okay, I'm loving that I went Chiefs here. Demos, I don't think that's egregious whatsoever. I'm taking Tennessee in the points. With that said, Steve Cease is still taking the Chiefs in the pick six.
Wait, let me take that back. Who's starting at QB? Is Malik Willis starting?
No, I think Tannehill's back.
Tannehill's back?
Okay. Yeah, I heard Tannehill was back.
Okay, I'll stick with
that. Word on the street told me.
I'll stick with the Titans.
Word on the street. I think it's word on the street. Yeah, I talked to a bird, guys.
Moving on to the next game for Monday Night Football. We got Saints and Ravens in the Mercedes-Benz Superdome. Leading off, I'm going to take the Saints here. And I feel like it was bad for me to lead off because I think I'm going to influence your picks. This Ravens team is banged up. This Saints defense just showed that they're legit, shutting out a pretty good Raiders offense. Not good. Mediocre Ravens offense. Mark Andrews might not play. Rashad Bateman's out. Gus Edwards looks like he's not going to play. You've got Alvin Kamara coming off a superhero-like effort the previous week. Andy Dalton's rolling at QB. I mean, the Saints.
Former Bears legend.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Andy P., who do you got?
I'm going with the Ravens. I just think Lamar is just so great, and he's going to really – they are banged up, but you just can't stop Lamar, man. You can't. You can only help to contain him. Is that a movie tagline? I don't know.
Can't help to contain
him. Is that something they say in
– Any given Sunday, that's your tagline.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Moving on.
I'm going Ravens.
Does he get on base?
I'm loving this.
Lamar Jackson is a one-man team.
There's no crying in baseball.
There's no crying in baseball.
Lamar Jackson is a one-man team. Until he's not, you can't fight it. Don't get me wrong. They are banged up. They've got a couple injuries. Lamar Jackson. That is all.
Okay. I don't respect new era Lamar Jackson. Like, I do not disrespect him. He's legit. He's got no one around him right now. I think his number one wide receiver could be me if I'm not careful.
Okay, so Ravens versus Saints. Yeah, this is a tough one. I think the Saints defense doesn't get enough credit that they play with. I think they play way better than what the stat sheet says. But you know, I don't really think I can bet against Lamar Jackson and Flock Nation. I think I'm going to go with the Ravens on this one. I think it's going to be a one-man show. Lamar Jackson's just going to go off. Ravens.
That leaves me on a lonely island.
Yeah.
We had to get it in there somehow.
As Steve takes the Baltimore Ravens. You always love to see one person have a lonely island. And last week I did win on my lonely island, taking the 49ers over the Rams, which, just like a high school girlfriend, I don't know what you see in her.
Ayo.
But, as Avril Lavigne would say, but we do have 2 minutes left in the show, and there is a pretty big event going on right now, the World Series, and it has dwindled down to a best of three. So I'm going to ask all of you guys, with the remaining 1 or 2 minutes we have left, who do you like?
Phils.
Phils in what, 7 or 6?
I'll go 7. I think the Astros are just super talented. It's going to be hard to overcome them. I think it's going to be a repeat of the 2019 World Series, though, for sure. Like, pretty much down to the last three games. I think it's going to be a lot of great pitching performances. We've seen a lot of offense, but I think it's going to come down to pitching.
File that under things you'd love to see. Jake Pearson, what are your thoughts?
I'm going to be straight up honest with you guys. I'm not the most in touch with baseball.
Just say a name.
I'm going to Houston Astros.
No one likes you. Moving on, David Moses.
Can't argue with that. But I'm all about momentum. I'm going to go with the Phillies in 7.
Okay. I like that pick as well. I knew the second that Alec Boehm said, "I hate this city," that the Phillies were a team of destiny. Give me the Phillies in 6.
Do you think he likes it now? The city?
Nah.
Does anyone ever love playing in Philly?
No. Does anybody like Philly at all, really?
And that's where we're going to end this edition of the Red Zone. Next week, we will have Mikey Fernelli back on, and hopefully we'll have another great guest in studio.
Recovers.
I know we will. That was the Red Zone on 103.3 WZND, the pulse of Redbird Nation.
Hear this and other past episodes of The Red Zone again? Download the Red Zone podcast online at WZND.com or on iTunes. And of course, tune into The Red Zone every Thursday at 6, right here on 103.3 WZND,
the pulse of Redbird Nation.